October 31st. Breakfast. True to his word, Grandpa Kinney arrived promptly at 9 a.m. I was still dead to the world. After a quick shower, I threw on some clothes and grabbed the flashlight. Everything appeared normal, but when I picked it up, the entire thing warmed to my touch and vibrated as if the flashlight wanted me to flip the switch. I resisted the urge and tossed the flashlight in the green camouflage backpack I took everywhere and slung the bag over my shoulder to run downstairs. Grandpa sat across from Mom at the kitchen table. He laughed when I walked into the kitchen. "Rough night, my boy." Mom sipped her coffee.
"Danny, if you'd told me you were going out with Grandpa today instead of your weekly Sunday brunch, I would have woken you up in time."
"Sorry, I forgot and was exhausted," I said.
"Please don't call me Danny."
She gave no hint she'd even heard me. Grandpa stood slowly, knees creaking, put on his ever-present black sport coat, and ambled to the back door. He stopped and turned with a smirk.
"I'll bring him back in a bit, Helena. Tell George I'm sorry I missed him."
Grandpa and Dad had never exactly gotten along. Mom responded with a sharp look, but still gave him a kiss on the cheek.
"You two have fun, but stay out of trouble."
I rubbed sleep from my eyes and followed Grandpa to his vintage, perfectly preserved, black 1969 Dodge Charger. I'd loved this car since I was little. "You still going to teach me to drive in this beauty?" He turned the ignition key, and the Charger roared to life.
"If I'm still around when the time comes, you bet,"
Grandpa said, patting me on the shoulder.
"And if I'm not around, this car will be waiting for you."
Having lost one grandfather recently, I ignored Grandpa's statement. As much as I appreciated the sentiment and the idea that one day I would inherit his car, I changed the subject.
"What was that about when we left?
I've never understood why you and Dad don't get along." Grandpa chuckled. Not the response I expected.
"Funny you should ask. So happens that's one of the many things we need to discuss."
We drove in silence for several minutes until we passed the Cracker Barrel we usually ate breakfast at on Sunday mornings. "We not going to our usual breakfast hangout?"
"I'd like to introduce you to some place new, some place more private," Grandpa said, with the same smirk he'd shown Mom earlier.
We pulled off the highway onto a two-lane road, a few miles outside the outer belt surrounding the city. We drove beyond the suburbs into the outskirts of farmlands. A few minutes later, Grandpa pulled into the small gravel parking lot of a tiny diner that looked like it might fall in on itself. The sign out front read, "The Cup of Joe," except the J on the flashing neon sign was out. When we stepped inside, a bell attached to the glass door jingled. My stomach roared as I breathed in the heavenly aroma of bacon, hotcakes, eggs, and coffee. A middle-aged waitress wearing a plain, navy blue, pocketed t-shirt and jeans smiled at us and poured a cup of steaming coffee at the counter.
"Morning, Aaron. You must be Daniel. Pleased to meet you finally, young man."
The front part of the diner was empty. I smiled back and waved. Grandpa led me to a booth in the corner by the front window.
"Give us two morning specials with grits, Mavis. Thought I should introduce the boy to you and Gordon."
I glanced back toward the counter. Smiling and waving once more, I saw the gray-haired cook wearing a round paper hat with a spatula in hand through the narrow window into the kitchen. Mavis delivered a coffee and orange juice to our table.
"Specials up in a few," she said,
then strode away back behind the counter where she started refilling salt shakers.
"Been coming here for years,"
Grandpa said. He poured cream in his cup from a small, porcelain, cow-shaped container on the table.
Mavis was a student of your grandma's a long time ago. She's a sweetie.
I stared as Grandpa sipped his coffee. The sly old man meant to make me begin the conversation. You know something about the thing that's been following me. What was that monster? Grandpa sat his cup on the table and leaned forward.
The important question is, how did you dispatch your demon?
I licked my lips and decided to leave out the details about the lightsaber flashlight I had somehow created. The shadow creature came after me in the woods last night at a friend's house. I reached out to push it away, and the monster exploded in a shower of sparks and dust. I didn't quite lie, though I may have twisted the truth a little, and I wasn't sure why. Grandpa's eyes burned into my skull.
You remembered Luke Skywalker in the cave, right? You struck at it by willing the shadow out of existence. Tell you anything?
Not really. Please, tell me what you know. He leaned back in the booth, once again sipping his coffee.
You're coming into your own, my boy. I told you not to fret. You'd eventually make the demon go away by yourself.
The slow trickle of information annoyed me. I'm glad I made the monster go away, but what was that thing? Why has it stalked me since I was little?
A long, complicated story. But I think you're ready to hear at least the basics,
Grandpa said, licking his lips with a grin. Mavis came back to our table, carrying several plates loaded down with eggs, sausages, biscuits, gravy, and hash browns. My stomach rumbled.
Be back in a few with your grits,
she said with a smile and a wink. As I greedily dug in like a starving dog, Grandpa Kinney told me, in between bites, a tale I found hard to believe.
Besides the fact you're my grandson, and I love you, you're special for a much different reason. All part of why George and I don't much get along. We tolerate each other because of you.
He continued as he buttered a biscuit.
It goes back much farther, but let's start with your parents. They genuinely fell in love, but their marriage was a political arrangement, an agreement between your late grandfather Ellsworth and me. Our families have a lengthy history as bitter enemies. George and Helena's marriage served as a truce between us, and your birth brought an outright end to a long war. Or at least it will, soon now, I think.
He smirked once again. Mavis returned once again with a pan of homemade grits, which she left sitting atop a homespun potholder on our table.
Just the way you like 'em, Aaron. You boys enjoy.
Thank you, Mavis,
Grandpa said, before turning his attention back to me. He wiped his mouth on his napkin, then started ladling grits into a small bowl.
Do you believe in magic, Daniel?
I swallowed the chunk of biscuit in my mouth.
What kind of question is that?
The most important kind, my boy.
His smirk from before disappeared, and no sign of a smile remained.
Do you believe in magic?
The area around our booth darkened. It had to have been a shift in the sunlight streaming in from outside. I thought on the question before answering, and the shadows hung heavy.
Never thought about it before. I think the world would be a much better place with magic in it.
The lamp hanging above us flickered, then brightened.
A good answer, one I can't disagree with entirely.
Grandpa paused and peered out of the booth, looking around the diner.
What I'm going to tell you is a closely guarded secret between the Kinneys and the Walderas. Magic is real. Quite real. Let's say dangerously real. And just like a lot of other things in this world, every force has its equal, opposite reaction. Opposites are important to achieve balance in life. Day and night, man and woman, push and pull. Most things have their counterparts. Magic is no exception.
He stopped for another sip of coffee. You're telling me magic is literally real? I asked, shaking my head in confusion.
Yes, but probably not the way you envision.
He replied, as he gently tapped the fingertips of both hands on the table.
Magic is a natural force, kind of like gravity. You can't see it, but magic is there, doing what magic does. Magic is everywhere, waiting to be used, like a power source for wonderful and terrible things. But an opposite of magic exists as well. Call it anti-magic if you want. Anti-magic serves no other purpose than to keep magic in check. Balance is crucial, my boy.
The things he told me sounded a bit far-fetched, yet I'd seen the specter and created the lightsaber flashlight. Can you show me what you're talking about? It might make it easier to understand. I'm a bit lost. Grandpa smiled normally this time.
Understandable. Bear with me for a few minutes more and listen. I'll simplify. Through the ages, some people have been able to manipulate magic without realizing it. Harry Houdini, for instance. He never truly understood how he pulled off some of his tricks, but the fact is they worked because of real magic. Your father's family has an affinity for manipulating magic. Not like casting spells, like in television and movies. Your father and Grandfather Ellsworth were both infusers. An infuser has the innate ability to create magic artifacts to do specific things. Normal people sometimes infuse things without even realizing it. Infusers act with purpose and can fashion items with wondrous powers. In other parts of the world, there are other families of infusers, but here in America, the Walderas are the last remaining practitioners of that power.
I started to sweat, and my hand went to my backpack sitting next to me. I touched the flashlight to make sure it was still there. From what Grandpa Kinney said, I literally made the flashlight into a lightsaber like in the movies, the coolest and scariest thing I ever heard. But it still didn't seem possible. Grandpa Kinney resumed his tale.
My family serves as a balance to the Walderas. The Kinneys are reliquists. We can nullify and dampen magic and the artifacts created and gathered by your father's family. Our history is complicated, but now you know the short, simple history of our families.
Mavis came back to the table.
I'll take the check whenever you boys are ready. No rush.
She left the check and refilled Grandpa's coffee cup. I shook my head. It all sounded weird and incredible and frightening and crazy. But I knew it to be true. I just didn't understand it all. Still doesn't explain death following me?
Grandpa laughed. You're right. I knew you'd be fine, eventually. Reliquists manifest their power over anti-magic just the way you did. A shadow followed me around when I was a little boy, exactly like you experienced. It came and went until I learned to conquer it, but I knew what it was because my mother told me all about it.
My eyes narrowed and I chewed my bottom lip and thought. So, I created that thing?
Most certainly. We call it your soul shadow. The most basic, primal embodiment of your power as a reliquist. Eventually, you'll be able to transform yourself into something similar when needed. You'll even learn to transform others into forms like it, known as drats.
I shuddered at the thought. Why would I? Why do you do that? My eyes widened. Do you kill people? Grandpa didn't laugh. He gave me a sad smile.
Only when necessary. Not for a long, long time, thank heavens. The only times I ever had to was during World War II, and in Korea when I was much, much younger. Let's not talk about that now.
Genuine sadness crept across the old man's face. I hadn't seen such a look from Grandpa Kinney since Grandma Kinney died when I was in kindergarten. Grandpa Kinney scooted out of the booth slowly.
I'll tell you anything you want to know in time, but I can't say much more yet. It wouldn't be fair to your father.
It took a moment for him to stand, and I heard the bones in his knees crack and grind with age.
Ellsworth and I agreed neither family would indoctrinate you as you grew up. We hope to allow you a normal childhood, unlike the rest of us. Ellsworth and I were great friends during the war. Fighting Nazis together brings out the best in people.
The look in his eyes changed from sadness to one of fond remembrance. He'd never mentioned fighting in World War II before. I had never considered just how old Grandpa Kinney might be. I grabbed my backpack and stood next to my grandfather to help steady him as he straightened his leg. There are so many questions swirling around my head. He patted me on the shoulder.
In time, my boy. You need to talk to your father first. The treaty states we could only start teaching you once you first exhibited a true manifestation of either an infuser or a reliquist. Last night, you showed you're going to be a reliquist.
The man beamed with pride. It was a quiet drive until we stopped in the driveway at home.
I'm always here for you,
Grandpa said as I opened the car door.
Call me any time. After you talk to your dad, we'll talk again in depth. Just know, reliquists are not evil, Daniel, no matter what your father may tell you. We aren't out to destroy magic. Magic's important, but it needs to be restrained. We're here to protect the world from the bad things magic can do. Don't be frightened by what we are or what we can do.
I felt guilty immediately, and even more confused. I had concealed my infuser powers from Grandpa. I considered the fact I apparently had the powers of both sides of my family as I watched him drive off. I wasn't sure whether that was awesome or terrifying.